Everyone, welcome to IT Live, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Tex Homer. Next to me is Paul Waddington. It is the Tuesday show. Paul is deep in writing his Texas football preview, so I'm sure he's having a grumpy blast. Yeah, I was going to say, having a blast there, dude.
I'm very grumpy right now.
Yep. But
don't test me, chat.
Yeah, don't try him right now. Good morning, Roaster. So today we are going to talk about Buenos dias to you too, Splendid Daddy. We are going to be talking PFF dropped a top 50 NFL prospects of 2026. And so it's a good jumping off point. So me and Paul can talk some good players. And then, of course, Longhorns are peppered throughout there. With one that I thought was really interesting that I didn't really see coming. I'm down with it, but I didn't see it coming. And then also they released, you know, like top 10 wide receivers you need to know, that kind of stuff. We can kind of go through those lists too. And I think it's good that, and I am guilty of this sometimes until I do my breakdowns, it's easy to just think about your team and not in context of the sport.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you run into good teams that beat you, but also you're just kind of not aware. You know, we're like, we think our linebacker room is really good. Turns out it is. PFF ranked at number one. But it's, you got to see where you're at compared to the other teams versus just looking at your team. So I think it's an important exercise.
We tend to have a heliocentric model with Texas as the sun.
Yep.
And all other planets spinning around.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah. And also everyone.
Remember that there's other galaxies.
Yeah. And everyone's a fan too of the sport. So you get to see, but you'll see that an interesting team here that has a lot is going to be Clemson. Starting out for 2026 prospects is Caleb Downs at Ohio State. Highly overrated player. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever. Caleb Downs is a baller. That makes sense. What, as we go down, we'll see is interesting. Clemson's going to have a lot of dudes in at important positions. So TJ Parker for Clemson and Peter Woods on the interior for Clemson. Once again, and Paul said this 1,000 times, but looking at last year, you would see these names and you're like, man, they got players. They were just dysfunctional. They just didn't really kind of work together. But as far as having like core talent, this is part of the reason, you know, you'll hear Clemson's going to be good because of Cade, not just because of Cade, because of two outside receivers, because what they have on defensive line, Clemson should make that jump. They have players on both sides of the ball. And after me dancing on Clemson's grave, specifically Dabo's grave, he seems to have returned. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought NIL was going to be the end of old Dabo, but I guess not. Is there anything about Parker or Woods or anything about Clemson you think is interesting?
Or just no, like I just think they were proof of how poorly they were coached. Parker, by the way, didn't give us any trouble at all.
Yeah.
Really. We'll miss Kelvin Banks. I promise.
For sure. Yeah, that was also really fun to just be like, we don't have to worry about your edge unless you're Georgia. Number four, quarterback Arch Manning. Now, we don't think Arch Manning is going to come out next year.
Wow.
But technically, he is draft eligible. So this one, they said Manning's placement on this list was easily the hardest to figure out. Even though he's only started two games in his career against bad competition, ULM and Mississippi State, the rising redshirt sophomore is still the betting favorite to take home the Heisman. So projection-wise, PFF is even going out on a limb here to say that they think Arch is going to be the best quarterback in that class, which all things considered, Arch's play, right?
Yeah.
His ability, his running ability, but also, man, it's just like good luck as a GM passing over a Manning to go to whatever, you know, that's a fun way to get fired in 3 years type of thing. So there's also going to be this downward pressure of like, what's he missing and what pedigree would you want, you know?
Well, one thing to put in context, betting favorite followed by plus 700. So while technically true, while factual,
yeah,
not true, like not meaningful, right? If you're plus 700, you're not a favorite for anything. Like,
yep.
What they're basically saying is no one knows who's going to win the Heisman and it's all dispersed, right?
Yeah. I mean,
there have been years coming into – there have been years in the Heisman where it's been like the betting favorite is minus 110.
Right.
Like, you know, it's
– yeah.
So –
and also, you know, fans are going to like that name. Name recognition is going to help a little bit too, right, with betting, people putting money on it. Are you saying that he might leave next year? No, we are not saying that. This is PFF's list of top prospects. We do not think Arch, well, I'm not going to speak for Paul. I do not think Arch is going to go out this year. Unless it's Heisman National Championship, what more do you want type year. I think Arch and the Manning camp would prefer to.
I would say if we won the national title, he won the Heisman, he set all sorts of records, I'd say it's a coin flip that he would leave.
Yeah.
So short of like the most amazing season possible. And I would say also you'd need like a good team with a good coach to actually have a terrible, weird, anomalous season such that he would be guaranteed to go to like an amazing NFL landing spot.
Yeah, so I agree.
If all those things came together, I think there'd be like a coin flip chance.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You would need an NFL team who's historically good with a good front office just to have the weirdest year ever, end up picking first, and then they're going to rock it right back up the boards.
Yeah, the Eagles go 2-15.
Yeah. And suddenly, don't say Eagles.
Yeah, I know.
Don't do that. But yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing, because the Mannings are with Eli, we're already like, we're not going to a bad organization. So no, I do not think Arch is, but technically he is a prospect. And even if he did go out next year, he's probably still the top quarterback.
He ain't going out.
Yeah. Number five, Cade.
Huh. Interesting. Is this NFL?
Yeah, this is NFL.
Well, he's a quarterback, so he's going to have an inordinate value, right? But I don't know. I'll be interested to see if his games, sort of levels up to the NFL as well as he does in college. He's going to be a really good college quarterback. I know that.
For sure. What if the Saints have the first pick? I think that'd end up worse. Your granddad would be like,
All right. I would have to say that family has some experience with bad organizations, and they may have some soft feelings for the Saints, but they're going to send him to go play where he's going to have the best NFL career.
This is why I've been in such a hard place, like with the Cowboys. You know, like they were talking about taking Golden. I'm like, I love Golden. I would love him on the Cowboys. You know, I would love Arch on the Cowboys. It's just, I don't trust us, you know? So it's like, it's weird with Longhorns. Like that trumps my NFL fandom. I'd rather my Longhorn guys go to the best situation possible, great front offices, even if it's not my favorite move, because I'd want everybody to go to Cowboys. So yep. That's always interesting, but I'm like, I don't know. Caden Proctor, Alabama.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, I mean, he's obviously improved every year, but look at his PFF grade, 76.5, eighth among SEC tackles. So this is like pure projection here, right?
Yeah, this is.
We're saying look at his traits. Yep. This is what we think he's going to be, but he has to do it on the field this year.
Well, even when I hear from insightful Alabama people, they're like, that's kind of their litmus test. Like, if you're talking about the Bama squad and like super hyping Proctor, they know that you're just like a name guy. You know, they're kind of like, yeah, I mean, he's good. He's just not what the name behind it is. So, yeah, these are all traits, you know, in the NFL type thing. But yeah, Proctor, he's gotten better, but he's just still a little bit slow to me. All right, Jeremiah Love. Notre Dame.
Running back?
Yep. I don't know, man. They've been going. I don't know about Love being that high, but, you know, they did the Bijan thing and then Genty. The running back has actually came back into the mix. So it's like the whole thing was like running backs are overrated, never take them in the first round. But then you had Gibbs, Bijan, Genty. So, like, the running backs are actually back in the first round now. Now these are really, like, really, really, really – top of the line guys, but it's like we have to reevaluate running backs getting pushed out of the first round and then now actually coming back into the first.
Yeah, that's a good point with Bijan. With Gibbs, I mean first round to me doesn't have the same meaning as top 10 pick.
For sure. Right? Yeah, and there's so tiers to it.
Taking a dude 24th is very different from taking him 5th.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean I love him. I think he's great, but I don't know. If I'm an NFL GM, I'm not a big I just don't draft running backs that high.
Well, let me me and Ian were arguing about this on a thread. So Ian's statement was that yards after contact per attempt is a sign of offensive line ability, and it's not, because it's not correlated. So it would mean that if someone had worse offensive line, you would see worse yards after contact per attempt.
Right.
And you don't. It's even distribution. But in the NFL, it's really interesting because they have yards before contact per attempt too, to show you that.
Yes.
And so I took all the data from yards before, yards after, plotted it, same thing. Correlation, very weak. Like a very, very weak correlation. So technically a positive correlation. But what's interesting is yards after contact per attempt is what matters. That's like the running back stat. And if you look at the analytics guys, that's what they like. Jeremiah Love has that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what you want to look at, because these are actually guys creating beyond the ability of their offensive line. So pay attention to yards after contact per attempt. It's not tied. It is technically a very weak correlation, but it's not tied like the other things to offensive line performance. So if you really want to evaluate a running back, be looking at that kind of stuff. McCoy, Tennessee. I don't pay attention enough to Tennessee. I know you do. Do you have any idea with him, the corner?
Yeah, I mean, he's very well regarded because he's just a freak athlete. And so the thought is his skills are getting better as, like, they're catching up to his athleticism. But his athleticism is, like, top 1%. So
NFL.
There you go.
Miami's got an offensive tackle.
I don't know anything about that guy.
Yeah, Utah's got an offensive tackle.
Utah's got several offensive linemen apparently this year. So team to watch, because they got their transfer from New Mexico.
Utah's always fun, man. Like, I remember in recruiting, like, you know, there's a couple of the front runner smaller schools that you pay attention when they offer. And yep. Utah was always one of those that if they were in on a guy early, you'd swoop in as a bigger program and try to steal him. Clemson again. So this is three guys in the top 11.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. And then I'd have to go, was he a big factor with us?
He played okay. They put him on an island a lot. And so we went at him quite a bit, and he sort of won some, lost some. But yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, I remember him flashing when I was scouting Clemson.
Yeah. Miami's also got an edge.
Hey, finally we finally got a player we care about. Come on.
Yeah. We got Anthony Hill, a junior. Number 13, number one ranked linebacker in the class. I hope no weird stuff happens with him in the draft. I always feel weird with, like, linebacker stuff, but I think his pass rushing ability is what is the NFL is going to be obsessed with.
Yeah.
Dude, and just his closing speed, like, I still am shocked whenever he locks onto something. And, like, for that size and kind of bulk, you know, it's like his closing speed is crazy. That's why he can pass rush.
It's wild. That's going to be a big hallmark of this Texas team. So I think we're going to see something we haven't seen in over 3 years, which is occasionally a team's going to hand it off on inside zone and some guys will get pushed around a little and they run for 11 yards, right? We're going to be like, what? Is that legal? Can a team do that? You know?
Yeah.
But what you're also going to see is someone's going to pitch it out wide or someone's going to try to bounce it. And you're going to just see a plethora of lean, hungry greyhounds just sprinting the guy down like he's a meal. And Anthony Hill is one of them. We're going to have great pursuit on this defense.
Like what I'm talking to me, it's like an arc, right? Because I'm not really including the interior because they're just a question mark. But the arc of like our edges to our true off-ball linebacker, like, that front seven thing is going to be the power of the defense.
Yeah. I mean, just so many guys that are active, great in pursuit. Simmons, Moore, Hill, the transfer from Arkansas, Spence, apparently that's his forte. Just so many of these dudes.
And if we can get Jelani at star.
I mean, yeah, that's sick.
You know, like that would, dude, as a quarterback, that level of paranoia, dude, because like any one of these guys are a playmaker and can come get you, and they're all big.
Yeah, so, and they can all drop and they can all show up in a weird place they're not supposed to be, like in a zone coverage, zone blitz.
And they all have crazy motor, too. So it's like you're dealing with like really good athletes, but really hardworking athletes, and that's a scary combination.
Yeah, if this, so people are always like, can this defense be as good as last year and all that? In some metrics, I don't think there's a chance because we're not built inside out the way we were last year. However,
I feel like we're good in a different way.
Forcing turnovers, this defense could be as good or better. And this is not a defense you want to be in third and 11.
Yeah.
Well, not a good place to be against us.
Ian said it. He put words to it better than I can explain it, because I was saying I think this group is more athletic, but that's not really the correct thing. What he's really saying is like mass times speed.
Yeah.
They're going to be better because they're bigger and equally fast.
Yeah.
So it's like it's that thing where I think it's going to be a more powerful – that's what I mean by athletic. It's going to be a more powerful defense. Now, the coverage and all of that, I don't know how that's going to work out the same as last year. We had a really special secondary. But as far as having big NFL bodies – that have been built in the culture and all that stuff, this team could be good in a different way.
Yes. And so last year's secondary was not very big.
Yeah. They're just right?
This year's secondary is long.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have hands and arms showing up in spots that the quarterback doesn't expect.
Yeah.
Some angles that he thought he could throw at, a guy's going to put up his arm and snag the ball or tip it. And you know, that kind of stuff is really hard to account for in like a preview or a stats, but you know it when you see it. You just go, oh, that defense is long and they're disruptive and they keep getting their hands on balls. And, you know, it's something that I think we're counting on and hoping for. And we're going to need it against Ohio State, because right out the gates, we are facing the best group of pass catchers in college football. And it ain't debatable. Like,
that's what
people will hype up a team and hype up a unit, and there is no credible argument that Ohio State does not have the best group of pass catchers in college football.
Yeah, it's just can their pass thrower under pressure get it to them? And that's gonna be where
PK's game plan. I mean, so believe me, we'll cover this ad nauseum on Inside Texas, and I'll write a ton about it. But it's really incumbent upon PK to strangle off the Ohio State passing game at the source.
Yeah.
Because once you let Sand stand in the pocket, and I've seen his release,
yeah,
it ain't good when Jeremiah Smith has got 3 seconds to run his route. Like, we've got to get in that dude's face and bat balls and sack him and get him on the ground and frustrate them early. And they're going to be breaking in a new offensive line, so we'll have an opportunity.
And we kept them capped last year, and so, of course, Ohio State's going to be at the drawing board with that. Jeremiah Smith does not want to be a non-factor again. I mean, we played them really well, and it's not that they were overhyped receivers. Those receivers deserve all their hype. We just had a really good game plan. But you know Ohio State's going to be back to the drawing board trying to figure out how can they not let Texas stop them again.
Yeah, in my opinion, Texas-Ohio State was the best game planned game on both sides that I saw last year. Both teams had the best game plan for each other. When we played Arizona State, I thought they had the best game plan against us of any Longhorn opponent we'd seen, but I don't think we reciprocated.
So, yeah. Well, I kind of felt that same way about Vandy's defense versus our offense.
Yeah, they did a good job. That was a really here's what Quinn Ewers can do. And here's how they build their protections. Let's just blitz the nickel every down and make them make them either they're going to get pressured and sacked, or they're going to have to throw it early.
And you can't roll out, right? Like, so Sark likes a lot of that. And if you're sitting in that nickel, you can't, there's no rollout game either. And ironically, even though I thought they shut us down really well, I thought that was Quinn's best game of Quinn Ewers football. Like, it was just – it was checked down. It was frustrating. But Quinn answered that in Quinn's way of playing football.
I just remember an endless sea of checkdowns.
Correct.
For 9 yards.
Like, but, like, that endless sea of checkdowns is, like, that was Ewers' ball, you know, that year. So, it's, like, that game was really fun. But, I totally agree. I thought Arizona State was also a fascinating game.
So I thought Arizona State did the best job game planning us on both sides of the ball. I thought Vandy's defensive game plan was great. Vandy's O plan, which was great for them all year. That's how they took down Bama. That's how they took down all these other teams. We actually had a good defensive game plan against them.
Yeah, we did.
We were pretty smart. And then because Diego Pavia is Diego Pavia, they freaking sneak into the game late in a game we were kind of controlling. Made it a 3-point
game.
Yeah, that
was an annoying one, because like you never felt like you were going to lose.
No.
But they were battling back, you know, and so fans were not happy with that one. But all right, guys, before we keep going, let's hear a word from Academy. In honor of your service and support for our country, Academy Sports and Outdoors is offering military and first responders 10% off your purchase, both in your local Academy Sports and Outdoors and online from April 27th through July 4th. Exclusions apply. Visit academy.com/discount for details. Thank you, as always, Academy. On top of being a great store, and it's just not a promo. I go to Academy. It's not far from my house. I go there all the time. It's not just a promo. I can get, like, whenever I'm doing, like, jogs or anything, dude, you can get the BCG shirt. You can get, like, 10 of them for, like, $55. It's awesome, dude. And then, but on top of that, they're good people over there. Everybody.
Connor doesn't even wash his shirts. He just wears it a couple times and throws it away.
Dude, yeah, for sure. You know how big into fashion I am, dude.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you can never. I'd never be caught dead in the same thing twice, dude.
That blue Nike shirt, I've never seen that before.
You've never seen that. You've never seen the same five shirts I wear, like, every live. My wife's like, we need to get you new clothes. And I'm like, I'm good. But I will.
Connor's like yelling at his wife, don't touch my Wednesday live shirt.
Yeah.
I have it laid out for a reason.
There's a reason I've had that shirt for 15 years, and it's because I like it. All right.
Here's the guy we almost had on our team.
I know. I was going to say Jordan Tyson. That was fun, but ultimately he stuck with Arizona State. Good for him, I guess. But he's a baller, man. We didn't get to face him in the playoffs, but he's a damn good player. Makes sense why we were interested in him. Man, you got to watch Sark, dude. If, like, I would tell my wide receivers, like, don't have a huge game against us because Sark's scouting. So, like, Matthew Golden, it was just like Sark saw what he did versus Houston. And he was like, interesting.
Yeah. He was like, I think he will play for Texas. So, yeah. Jordan Tyson, maybe more than any other player in college football, emblematic of the fact that you can retain your players if you put in enough effort and you sell them on some belief that, hey, we've got the quarterback for you, we have an ecosystem. You experienced a Big 12 title. You experienced the playoffs with us. Stick around. If Arizona State had gone 6-6, Connor, Jordan Tyson is starting for the Texas Longhorns.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And keeping Sam Levitt, like, Arizona State.
I think Dillingham has had a story to tell, and apparently the Sun Devil alumni stepped up, passed the hat, and Jordan Tyson's going to be playing for the Arizona State. Arizona State also did a pretty, as they do every year under Dillingham, they did a pretty sneaky good job getting other receivers to compliment him in the portal. They got a guy from Fresno State who's pretty damn good. And look for Sam Levitt. He's not going to be like lovable game manager anymore. He's going to be go win the game Sam Levitt all year. And Tyson's going to play a huge role in that.
Fans are not going to like Sam Levitt because he gives honest answers to stuff. And so the media takes it, you know, he wrote down all the quarterbacks drafted or recruited before him on a list. And he was talking about it, however you motivate yourself. But of course, that's everyone's like, oh, he thinks he's better than Lagway. He thinks he's better than Arch. It's like, guys, he's also giving you real answers. Like, these athletes don't answer anything where, like, these interviews are boring. And then as soon as they do answer it, it's like, oh, we hate him. So it's just like, man, he's an interactive kid, man. He's fun. He's confident. He plays hero ball.
All I know is we can't tackle his ass on a football.
Dude, I was going to say, dude, that was, you know how to beat the Texas Longhorns pass rush? Just sprint as hard as you can for 6 seconds and then try to find a guy. Because our secondary, our line was like, dude, what is going on?
I swear to God, Connor, he winded us. Like,
I know.
He single-handedly tired out our defense, and then Cam Scadabo was able to run the ball late. Yeah. And you know, they were able to have their comeback because he basically single-handedly wore out our defense.
Yeah, the stat line was horrific, but as far as, like, trying to win that battle on that battle's terms, I thought he was doing good.
Yeah, he's the best testament to not scouting by the box score, because his box score against us was not great.
No.
But then you watch the game and you're like, holy cow, this dude just wore out our defense.
He's giving them a chance, man.
Is this the first year with all Sark recruits?
Everyone besides Taff, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because we got rid of a bunch of fifth-year guys last year, right?
Yeah, basically, if you don't start for Texas, you get washed out. Like, if you're not getting started by, like, third, definitely fourth year, it's you just kind of disappear.
Unless you have a special role. Unless you're Keelan Robinson, right? Sure. Yeah, no, this is a Sark team, man. And it's interesting because I think we're in the reload mode, right? We're not as prey to development cycles as the Big 12 team would be, right?
Yeah.
But I do think we see a little bit of a retrenchment at some spots, right? Like, we're kind of starting over at defensive tackle with a new crop. Mm-hmm. We're starting over on the offensive line with the new crop of guys. Now, does that mean we fall off a cliff? No. It would have meant that 5 years ago, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But now, no. I think, I mean, what do you think our floor is? 9-3 regular season?
Yeah.
I'm assuming, like, terrible, horrible, crazy stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah, losing three games in the regular season feels like a good floor.
That's the floor, right?
Yeah.
And then the ceiling is 11-1.
Yeah.
Like reasonable ceiling regular season.
Yeah. And it's like we said, like, just because it's unanswered doesn't mean it's a negative. You know, something can be unanswered and then be positive, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's that thing. And this is the first time we're seeing Flood's like backline development, you know, because we had the young guys that just like came in and started. Now we're seeing like a wave of the second string turning into first strings. We've seen it tackle a little bit, but that's what I also like too. Cause he had Banks, Majors, and Campbell, and he had to replace tackles. But we had Connor the whole time, that kind of thing. So this is the first time we're seeing what's been happening behind the scenes and are they ready?
Well, it's hard for us to put us back because we think that where we are is where we've always been, right? That's how memory works. But a year ago at this time, chat, see if you can go back and go back in time. I'll do the Wayne's World sound effect. At this time, a year ago, we were seriously questioning our defensive backfield. Remember? The coaches pushed out seven guys.
Yeah, Jaron Thompson.
Starters.
Yeah.
Like, if you read the traditional football preview, they're like, Texas has massive holes at safety after losing starter Jaron Thompson to Auburn. And remember Terrence Brooks transferring to Illinois? Like, our starting corner's gone. And, you know, that's when you're trying to be diplomatic and I'm kind of like telling people like, hey, I write the postmortems. We pushed him out. He didn't just leave. And it was hard for people to imagine that not only was our defensive backfield going to improve substantially, it was going to be the best ones we've seen in 15 years. Right.
Yeah.
And so put yourself back there and think about that. You know, wow, we're going to replace all these guys. We're bleeding in the defensive backfield. Whoa, is Taff ready? Oh, I don't know about Michael Taff playing every down. Like, Andrew Makuba, I don't know, man. He had like one interception at Clemson his whole career. This guy's just a jag. You go through it all. Jade Barron, he got burned. Remember that?
He did get burned, though, on that.
Whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then they come back and they're the best secondary in the country.
And so, smart as hell, dude.
The point is, we're in a different stage of program under Sark, and God bless that guy.
Yeah. Every time the coaches make those moves, it's like you're like, oh, I like Jaron Thompson. But it's like you see that they're making some cold, hard calculations.
Loved every second of his 4.7 40.
Yeah. But it's also like these guys know NFL players too. Like, they know what's up.
Yeah.
You know, in the past years, you could argue with the coaches all day. And I'm not a don't argue with the coaches guy. I think that's a total cop out and a way to not think. But these guys, this coaching staff gets it right so often that I'm like, okay, I'll quit with my hypercritical. When it was Herman, I was like, what are we doing?
Well, a lot of coaches, like fans, hold on to familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a pretty average player who actually creates issues for your defense, but he started 31 games at safety, you're like, well, but he knows what to do, and we know what defenses to call, not to expose him. It's like, well, we want to be able to call every defense, man. Like, you're losing the plot of what this is about. And fans lose it all the time. Coaches do too. And Sark has got a group of guys that are like, hey, this guy isn't cutting it for how we want to play. Like, let's move on. Yeah. And, well, we're going to have to start this freshman. They're like, I don't – yeah, who cares? Like, we're going to call the – we're going to play the defense that I want to play. I'm not going to be constrained by a player's skills, right?
You know, coaches will always say, like, tell the players, like, we're trying to out-recruit you, and that's just not true because most schools don't have the talent acquisition to out-recruit at every position. Texas legit is trying to out-recruit you.
Yeah, you're trying to get replaced.
Yeah, like, that guy 3 years younger than you probably does have a better athletic profile. You might know more right now, but...
Well, when you talk to Kelson, you know, like, guys who played at that other... the previous heyday of Texas football, right? He said, I remember he once commented, he said there are some linebackers that came in, like Derek Johnson, and he was talking to his buddies, and they're like, well, we're in trouble.
that's a different thing, yeah.
No, it wasn't Derek Johnson. It was like Keenan Robinson and those guys, right?
Yeah.
And they just all looked, all the older linebackers looked at each other like, well, we're in trouble. Like, we need to go fight for our jobs.
Yep. And that's what it is. AR asks, honest question. Why do critics think Texas will have a regression because they lost players, but don't have the energy for a team like Ohio State? So this is something that I've been noticing. I think CFB Nerds did a good job sparking this. They always do a great job getting the people going. I actually like those guys over there. But basically they asked, why does everyone think Texas is going to be, I think, number one? And they were saying, and then they listed what we lost, right? Quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, that kind of stuff. But generally, it's not. I'm not seeing that extension. They're like, they lost X players to the NFL. It's like, well, Ohio State lost more. And they have a new quarterback. So does Ohio State. The difference with Ohio State that you can argue is that they're returning the wide receivers besides their slot. So that's an argument, I guess, for Ohio State. But generally – Georgia, Ohio State, we're in the party now, but we're still the newest guys to the party. We've done it for 2 years. But as far as like being around, like Ohio State's been, they were hanging around the rim for a decade, you know, and then Georgia, yeah. Georgia was dunking on people for a decade. So they get this auto reload. We don't have to think. Texas is still in that scrutiny phase. If Texas continues to do this, winning a championship or hanging around like a Michigan or Ohio State did, then we'll get the benefit of the doubt. But people are going to be ultimately skeptical of Texas. Also, it's Texas. People want to be skeptical of the brand. But it doesn't always apply to other teams. You're right. They lost equal or more players to the NFL draft.
So the year before we won the Big 12 on our exit, where we crushed the Big 12 and blew out Oklahoma State in the title game, said sayonara. Before that year, everyone was like, well, it kind of lines up for Texas. There's a lot of reasons to like them, but you know they're gonna it's Texas. They'll screw it up. They'll underachieve. Okay. That doesn't happen. Then it's, well, Texas won the Big 12. They're going to find out playing in the SEC every week's a different animal. Mm-hmm. And then you had all the like Homer SEC shows. They're like, Texas about to find out what playing the SEC is. I guarantee you that.
Yeah,
Texas is 8-1 in the regular season,
and then they're like, "Man, why is the SEC so down?"
Yeah, and then everyone's like, "Well, SEC's way down. Texas went through them."
That was always the quick thing. That was always the flaw of the SEC, is that they had two front runners, Alabama and Georgia. Whenever that makes your league look incredible, and they are the NFL talent. But the thing was, when Saban retired, no matter what, it was going to feel like the league had a step down just because your top two front runners go down.
But well, I don't think that's the case. So I agree with you to a point, but LSU in 2019 was like a generational football team.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I'm saying, if you're looking at the past decade, it was Bama and Georgia.
So they dominated the
yeah. And so, yeah. Of course, when Saban retires, you're going to immediately feel like it was a step down, and it might be for it temporarily. But as far as NFL draft picks and all that stuff, SEC's still looking mighty fine. It's just also the SEC didn't make it to the championship, so that probably feels like it too.
Well, and also, I just say this year, just because of the way things fall, I think there's 8 teams that could legitimately win the national title.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I think that number was 3.
Yeah.
So, and I think most years, it's going to be 3. And I just think that, I mean, who's your number one? I don't know. If it's not, I mean... Everyone who makes arguments against Texas, I'll nod at most of what they say. And then I'll say, well, who's your number one? And they'll say, Ohio State. And then you start to list their stuff, right? So I don't know. I think mark my words, all these early week zero and week one games are going to be a mirage.
Yeah.
People are going to make big pronouncements based on those early results, and it's not how the season's going to play out in December. So hang on, and we'll see.
Yeah, whoever loses Ohio State, Texas is going to suck and fall off.
Texas might go 6-6.
Yeah, and then it's the same thing they did to Bama when we beat them, right? Yeah, if Texas beats you, you must suck, right?
Yeah.
And so then they go on to win the SEC. Man, Bama fell off. It is, dude. Being a Texas fan is a trip. Just to watch like the mental gymnastics of just how everything gets downgraded if we do well is funny. All right, we got a center right here, number 15 pick center.
Wow, that's funny. I'm writing my preview and I'm pointing out how good he is.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was this good. I didn't know he's a first rounder.
Yeah, dude. Holy first cow. Round center, dude, which is crazy. Shout out Auburn, Scott and Edge.
Dude, yeah, so this guy Keldrick Falk is if Auburn breaks out, it's one of those teams that every year they're supposed to break out, like A&M, right? But if they do break out, he's going to play a big role in it. He's a huge edge, and they can play him sort of all over the place. And he's just really disruptive. And Auburn's got not as good as him, but you know how you like look at a team and you look at some body types and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Auburn had they've been recruiting well. They brought in a bunch of young guys that when you see them on the defensive line, you go, oh, okay. So that's what they got coming up.
Off the bus guys.
Yeah, and these guys are all sophomores and juniors now. And so you're going to start seeing them. And Auburn's just going to come at people in waves with this guy leading the charge on the defensive line. And so, yeah, mark my words. If Auburn breaks out, which I kind of indicated I think they will, at least, you know, to like 8-4 kind of year, this guy's going to be a big reason. So
before we get to the always controversial Penn State quarterback.
Uh-oh.
You need to go to Gabe Winslow for your mortgages, which is never controversial.
It is uncontroversial. Mm-hmm. It is obvious. It is plain. You should dial this number, 832-557-1095. Hey, a bunch of you are moving this summer. You got to relocate. Kids are out of school. Or it's time. You've got that time and, frankly, the good enough weather that you can go move and start looking at houses. This is the guy you want spearheading that financial part of it. He's great at what he does. Over 20 years in the industry. UT grad, passionate Longhorn fan, former National Merit Scholar. He's got a law degree, and he's been in this industry on every side. He used to own a title company. He just focuses on the mortgage side now, but he can solve problems on any side of this transaction. You need a true partner in this. You need a guy who's going to pick up the phone the instant you call. You need a guy who's going to answer your text messages. You need a person who's going to explain all this. You know, there's an expectation, Connor, that when you go buy a house, that you're just supposed to know how all this works.
Yeah.
No one knows exactly. You can't just Google all this. Like, have a guy who's a real expert in your corner fighting for you. That's Gabe Winslow. 832-557-1095.
They don't teach it in school, Paul.
No. It's like, as a man, you're expected to know how to fix your dishwasher. I don't know how to fix my dishwasher, man.
I wouldn't even have the first.
I'm just going to make it worse.
Yeah. All right. Number 17, the mad bomber from Penn State, the killer. Man, everybody was getting on why am I blanking on the Penn State? Franklin. Everybody was getting on him. Man, I thought that was Drew's game that they lost at the end of that one.
I'll say this in his defense. There was no team in the playoffs with a worse wide receiver core than Penn State. And that includes Notre Dame.
Yeah, in the playoffs for sure, yeah.
So they got a lot by going through Tyler Warren, who's an absolute freak tight end. He's gone now. But their wide receiver core was really poor. And if you'll recall, when they played Notre Dame, their wide receivers didn't catch a single pass. So
yeah.
I don't think that's real helpful to your quarterback or your quarterback play.
Good point.
So if you want to make the positive pro Drew Allar argument, that's it. Hopefully they've upgraded that group. I haven't done a big Penn State deep dive, but we will see on this guy. But he sort of looks the part, and I think that always helps, right? When you're 6'5", 235, big arm, and you know, athletic.
I mean, So this is maybe just recency bias. It doesn't seem like the NFL is overdrafting right now at the position. It seems like they're giving more sober grades to these quarterbacks. So I do want to see when we have, like, you know, five first round quarterbacks, if that's, you know, is just the old way of thinking. And really we need to start not just saying the top five quarterbacks are going to be first round.
Are you saying Christian Ponder would not be a first round pick?
Yeah.
That's not it.
Yeah. So that's, it's like, it seems like the teams are getting a little bit more obvious there of going like, all right, let's take them for second or third money, but we don't need to, for the sake of tradition, just draft five quarterbacks type of thing.
So I think this group may legit be better from an NFL projection standpoint. Like,
oh, for sure.
Klubnik, yeah. Allar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're making a good point, Connor, because I used to just sort of be like, hey, man, if it's a quarterback, he's going in the first round if he can fog a mirror. We saw some stuff, certainly Texas related, that suggests that that's not the case. Or Shedeur Sanders, right? Like,
well, we saw in the last 5 years, too, there was that other class that, like, only one or two quarterbacks went. And so it's like we're starting to see it more, which is good, I think, a sign of a maturing NFL in their evaluations.
I wonder if their people are better able to control their owners. Because it used to be the owner would get fired up, especially about, like, a potential hometown or home state guy. Like, you got to draft him.
It was basically the interview. The interview was the evaluation for those.
Yes.
Owners. I like him. He reminds me of my grandson.
I like this Tim Tebow guy. Draft him in the first round.
Yeah. So that's what I think is interesting. I'm just watching quarterback more, which I think is much more fun because it's not just auto putting guys in. Nussmeier from LSU.
Yeah, big arm. He will put the ball in peril.
Yeah. We got to see this year if he can survive.
This guy, I mean, who knew Purdue, 1-11 Purdue, had all this talent? Because when they fired their coach, everyone went to West Lafayette.
It was weird.
Yeah, and this guy, I mean, he's considered one of the best safeties in the country. Played for Purdue. And I know Texas was recruiting him. They liked him. But he ended up at Oregon, like as many of these guys do.
Yeah.
They didn't read my Oregon State taxes post, did they, Connor?
No, they didn't, dude.
They don't understand. This dude doesn't understand. He's about to pay 10% taxes on that NIL.
Yeah.
Just state taxes.
If y'all missed it, Paul wrote another rousing piece about
state a banger.
About state income tax. And it did yield quite a fascinating
I was thread. Informed by an Oregon resident that he loves paying those taxes, but also he works as hard as possible not to pay taxes. So it's a powerful dichotomy.
Yeah, powerful, man.
I knew many people like that when I lived in California.
Yeah. But yeah, when Oregon wins their portal, you're just like, okay. All right, LT Overton, Alabama, from our friends at Texas A&M.
Yep, and followed by Deontay Lawson. So that's the thing about Alabama is people are freaking out like, oh, who's going to be their quarterback? You know, who's going to be – it's like if you just list other positions that aren't getting all the press and attention, Alabama's got a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, that's why when you're seeing them climb back on the ranks and everybody's like, oh, they're just lazy because it's Alabama.
I'm
like,
yeah,
no, it's like Alabama's got dudes, man.
Yeah, they got a bunch of guys at like key infrastructure positions. And so it's kind of interesting. If DeBoer can get his quarterback early or even in the middle of the season, he has to make a shift. They could be really interesting. If they don't, man, I can't imagine those weird feelings in Tuscaloosa of like, oh, it's all over. Like that the Nick Saban golden age has passed.
Yeah.
Rome has fallen, Connor.
They have edge, they have linebacker, they have left tackle, they have good guys coming back in the secondary, and then we know at wide receiver they've got one of the best in the country.
And he's 14.
Yeah.
And has like 7 more years of eligibility.
Yeah, it's incredible. Deontay Lawson, who I feel like I've been following Deontay for ever.
I remember him being like a recruit.
Yeah. So it's like, but it feels like he's been an Alabama dude for a minute.
There's our guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's old Sammy. But Alabama's got dudes, guys. So don't just think it's a lazy take, even though sometimes that's my first thing with any sports writers. But no, Bama's got guys. Sam Levitt, you think he's a first round guy?
Yeah, if he goes out.
I don't know, man. I got to see how much quarterback old Sam's playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, because in the NFL, he's not Lamar Jackson. So it's like that running around.
Oh, no. He's going to.
I want to see him
prove it year as a passer.
Yeah. Like, I have to see pocket command to talk first round, even though I love his mental game and I love that he's willing to do whatever. But yeah, I just need to see more. But also, in the Big 12, he should be able to do that. I think Arizona State's going to be solid. But also,
four forced missed tackles. I think we were responsible for 19 of them.
We had to have. But what do you do, right? Like, losing Scataboo is – that's tough, man, to go from that level of production at running back, but not just running back. I mean, they're splitting him out to wide receiver catching fades. And
do you know who they got to replace him?
No. Who did they get?
Army's fullback.
That's actually pretty rad. But
Kanye Udo. Yeah, the dude was awesome for Army, and he has long speed. So
how does that work? Does that mean you just left the Army? Like, how does that work?
At a certain age or a certain classification, you're not officially having to give your military commitment to Army. Hmm. But if you left after, like, your junior year willingly, like you weren't kicked out or something, then you owe all the cost of your college education back to the Army. Okay. Right?
That's what I was wondering. I was like, I thought they were just like in the Army. So it was like, anytime they transfer, I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah. It'd be interesting. Keep your eye on Arizona State. They're not going to go away.
Yeah. But yeah, Levitt, I need to see Levitt. Like, people are saying Levitt's baller, gamer, 100%, but I need to see pocket command. That's what's going to make the difference for the NFL.
Hey, does this next guy surprise you, seeing him on here?
Yeah, he's like he's a popular name at A&M, but like whenever I was breaking down stuff last year, it wasn't crazy. So Torian York.
I feel like he's a familiar name, but when I scouted him, I wasn't like, oh my God, Torian York.
Yeah.
He made one play against us, and that was a busted block by Jaden Blue, I think.
Yeah. But
he's also little, right?
It's interesting in the – I don't know what is – he's 6 foot, 235.
Yeah. College players that are listed at 6 foot are usually
5'10". 5'10", yeah. But he is interesting because he'll be like Anthony Hill's probably main kind of him, Deontay Lawson, that little group of linebackers. It's going to be interesting. Another one that we actually weren't interested in, right? I think that there was some mental eval we didn't like. I couldn't remember. There's one of them where we're like, it's a no-brainer talent. Oh, no. I think Singleton's NIL was crazy or something. Because this was the Georgia Tech guy. So I don't think it was a mental eval thing. I think the NIL didn't. It was
confident. No, he's a super fast.
Yeah.
Kind of average receiver skills. But if you want him to just go make plays and throw him the ball, that's your dude. He's blazing fast.
So, you know, Sark has to take a look at that. No matter what with speed. But, yeah, the NIL was a little bit like, yeah, let someone else. So interesting, right? Manny Muhammad.
Boy, you wouldn't think so from the last three or four games he played, right?
Yeah, but the thing with, like, that whole family, the Muhammads, Mike, they train like pros since they were, like, 14. So he's going to have that. And he could potentially have a better pro career than even a college career.
For sure.
But also, I think having Jahdae Barron kind of sucks because that means you're going to get targeted. Like, if I'm drawing up – if I'm Clemson, I'm not throwing at Jahdae Barron a bunch, you know? So it's like – and some of the stuff – now, the thing that would bother me with, like, Manny was when he would throw his hands up at the second – like, start blaming. That annoyed me.
While the play is still occurring.
That would annoy me. But, like, some of it was, like, he got high load. Like, there's no answer.
Yeah,
It's like he got high load. And they're like, he caught a ball. It's like, guys, you can't physically be right on some of these concepts. Like, it's whoever they selected would have gotten beat. But that was my only thing when, like, Manny would start throwing hands up at a safety immediately and stuff like that. But I think he's going to come back and have a solid year. And Eric was saying yesterday that, you know, corner's not even 100% figured out with Gilbo. So there's still, like, competition there at corner. There's no competition with Manny, though, you know?
Yeah, you know my Gilbo consternation. Like, is he just – I don't want, like, two slow corners out there.
Yeah. And so there, but, you know, Malik Muhammad as a first round pick is interesting. Second and third is kind of what my feel was, but we'll see. Penn State's got a corner as well.
Yeah, they've had a good run of corners recently. Sure. This guy, Tyreek Sapp, he's going to be – so everyone's talking about DJ Lagway, as they should.
Yeah.
Guys like he, guys like the running back for Florida. Is it Bo? Bow? I'm blanking.
Yeah, whatever his – yeah. His
Jaden Bow or something like that.
But he's awesome.
Those guys will be key, and Florida really needs a pass rush. So – we will see if this guy can provide Florida a pass rush. Florida's going to break out. Florida's going to go to playoffs, man. Because if they can win nine games, their strength of schedule,
it's they should be incredible. Yeah,
they should be like a four seed.
As long as the committee's not stupid.
Well, that's a tough caveat, but yeah, this guy's a big deal for Florida. He really needs to be a force because Florida really struggled to rush the passer, and if this guy can get off, it's going to be a big deal for them.
Offensive guard Armaj Reed Adams. If you want one of the funnest matchups in all of college football of two guys attacking each other, go watch Texas versus Texas A&M. Go watch Colin Simmons versus Armaj Reed Adams. So Colin is Duncanville. I think Armaj Reed is like DeSoto or something. But dude, they went after each other hard reps. They would go after each other after the whistle. If you could just put a box around every time they match up, you will have an absolute blast watching them. He transferred from Kansas. But watch Armaj Reed Adams and Colin Simmons go at each other. It's an absolute blast. It must be something from high school. And they go so hard at each other, you can't tell if it's like they're cool with each other and that's why they're going that hard at each other or if they actually hate each other. But it was absolutely a blast watching those two.
Was he playing tackle in that game? Because he's a guard.
Yeah. I don't remember what he plays, but you'll watch.
Interesting.
Watch it, man. It's they're going at each other after the play all the time.
This guy for Penn State's like a fifth-year player. He had a good playoffs. If he had gone out, I think he would have been like a third-rounder last year.
And they had their first rounder, right? So it's like Penn State had some guys.
Abdul Carter, that was a bad man.
He was. Denzel, honestly, never heard of him. How wide?
He's good.
Chandler Rivers.
Don't even know who that is.
Hell yeah. Carson Beck. Hey, we'll see, baby. We'll see.
We will see.
Yeah, we've talked about him plenty. He's always interesting. Indiana's got an edge, huh?
Yeah.
And it's a Kamara. Is that an actual Kamara?
Of the Kamara fame?
Yeah. Is he of the Kamara genus? Penn State, another guy, man. Penn State's got some dudes, huh?
Yeah, they're kind of a fashionable national champion pick. Like James Franklin finally breaks through.
Yeah. Concepcion, the NC State pickup by Texas A&M.
Very good yak guy. Yeah. Playing in a pretty retarded NC State offense. That's why he transferred out. And he'll be a good compliment for Reed because he's a guy that Reed can just flip the ball out to and he can make good things happen. It's going to help his confidence. Michael Taft. There we go.
I know. That's what I was going to say. This is the one that shocked me, like a top 50 NFL prospect. Because like it was kind of like, look, Taft needs to come back and gain some weight. I love Taft. Do not get me wrong. But we're talking about like NFL prospect. That's pretty crazy to be a top 50 guy because he doesn't have the traditional measurables at all.
You know what? I bet his measurables are fine when he goes to the combine.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like he needs to put on the weight. That's going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
But his measurables aren't going to be great. I mean, he's a walk-on. I mean, they weren't looking for – if your measurables were awesome, you'd get a star.
You know what's crazy is when you saw him at Westlake, his tape and like what he did in actual games, he was as good as any player in the state.
That interception versus Quinn where he just like leaped up like a jaguar. Yeah, that was one of the sickest plays, dude.
But he did stuff like that all the time. I think wasn't he the MVP of the state title game?
I don't remember.
Four times or something, but like as a corner, he played corner in high school.
Yeah. He was also one of those walk-ons that walked on at Texas, you know, but he like wasn't going to walk on.
Oh, there's no doubt he could have gotten a scholarship to play football at, you know, Kansas or something. Yeah. But he wanted to be a Longhorn. I'm glad.
But you think of the top 50 prospects, and with the NFL guys, I'm always cheating towards height, weight.
Yeah.
You know, like,
look, I mean, you know, we can agree to disagree. You hate him. I really like him. I'm glad he's a Longhorn. That's fine.
Dude, we had to battle for Taft, dude, the past two off seasons, because everyone wanted to bench him.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, this is white walk on. Who gives, you know? And then we had to be like, no, we promise. At one point, we had to put a break. We're like, we're not defending Taft this episode. And it's lucky that, lucky now that everybody's down with him. But I remember that was so annoying for a couple off seasons. Derek Moore, Michigan.
Yeah, I remember this guy from last year scouting him. Just, he's good. This is like his time, but he's lost all of his buddies on that D-line. So he may find he's getting a little more attention, but if you see him like running around, he looks like a Georgia edge. He's like 6'5", 260, 32-inch waist. Like, he's that guy, right? Yeah. So we'll see.
Tennessee again.
Yeah. Got another Indiana guy.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
So this is a guy that I know that many programs, I don't know if Texas was, but were really interested in trying to get him from Indiana. Indiana, kind of like Arizona State, sold him on the vision, raised a bunch of NIL, and they retained him. So, you know, maybe this is the new world of NIL, of retention.
Speaking of guys Texas was looking at, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, we at least raised the price on him for Texas Tech.
I was going to say, I remember when he was coming in to visit, and I was like, why? I mean, it'd be sick. You would love to have him, but like with our
edge. Well, the answer is why not?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you would never turn him down, but it's like for David Bailey, I was like, why would you pick Texas, you know, when you can go to Tech and feature?
Yeah, but he will be the featured guy on their defense.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to watch.
Tech's going to be an interesting team to watch just in general.
Carnell Tate, wide open.
Carnell Tate. So this was the funniest one. Like, he got treated like chopped liver last year because he was the third guy to Smith. And who was the slot for Emeka?
Abuka.
Yeah. And so it was like Carnell Tate was the forgotten guy. Still a five-star. It was like, guys, don't – if you shut down the slot and Smith, don't worry. Carnell Tate can play too, so I'm glad to
see. So I watched Ohio State's spring game, and Connor, their second-team wide receiver unit would start at 90% of FBS schools.
Yeah.
Like, they're so above and beyond at the wide receiver position. It's just sick. It's ridiculous.
Well, and it's annoying because they will wait. That's what's annoying, is like, they've got a good culture. So like, these five stars won't transfer out immediately, you know, like they're willing to sit because they have such proven ability too. So it's rare to stack a room like that in this modern era.
Of wide receivers, no less.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, one of the most dysfunctional diva-ish groups. It's like, yeah, it's really impressive how they're able to do that. Just logistically, because wide receivers, like, the wide receivers give you – good wide receivers give you a year, and that's about it. They're going to transfer, or they're going to start to destroy your culture. Another Indiana guy. What is going on here?
I don't know. Frank Cignetti.
So this is the safety for Bama.
Yep.
So Bama's getting some guys. Oh, Matt. Okay. Lemon for USC. This is our first USC guy, right?
Yeah, he's good. And what's funny is I'm not sure he's even better than – so the USC has a really good receiver core. And I'm not even sure he's the best of the group. But he's good. He's the most – probably the most athletic. And they lost Branch in the offseason to Georgia. And I think that actually may have improved their wide receiver core, just because Branch was more of an athlete than a pass catcher. So, yeah, he's good. USC's got – they're loaded at receiver. I'm not sure about their quarterback. We'll see.
But also, I mean, if your top player is a receiver, I mean, there's no other – like, you've seen everybody else has had multiple guys, and a lot of them at kind of impacty spots. So it's just USC needs to get their talent level up overall. Singleton at Penn State. Penn State has a lot of guys, man. They're starting – I might need to go, well, look at Penn State a little harder. Because I can't just give them the magic Franklin sucks and therefore.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're probably this. If you had to pick a single team to make it to the playoffs,
yeah, that seems like a safe one, especially look at how many.
I think Penn State is the safest choice of any top 10, any team in college football. Will you make the playoff? Yes, no. Jonah Coleman, he was great at Arizona. I was actually hoping that we would get him in our running back room when Arizona blew, you know, they went, the guy went to Washington. Yeah. He went to Washington, unfortunately. He's good there. He's just a really good running back. He's a squatty, short little dude, and he shrugs off tackles, and he's got great vision.
5'9", 230.
Yes. He's a little load.
Austin Romain, Kansas State.
Don't even know who that is. I'm so out of the Big 12 now that
he's a good player. Is that the it feels like the first Big 12 player besides like Arizona State?
Utah had a tackle.
Utah.
Yeah.
Once again, Alabama.
Yep.
On the interior. So pay attention to Bama, guys. It's because Saban's not there. And also, believe in DeBoer.
This guy, Ian, said he watched the Oregon spring game, and this guy was dominant.
Okay.
Oh, no, this is another guy. So this is their center. He said Oregon had some edge that was sick. That's who I was thinking of. He was a Polynesian guy. But so this is their center. Huh? Interesting. Stowers from Van. Why not Diego Pavia? No, it's the NFL.
Yeah, Stowers. He went to Denton Geyer. Started off as a quarterback, and then
tight end. Denton Geyer's like the cool, dominant high school in Denton. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
You went to what? Denton Preparatory School for Wayward Boys or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that was it.
All right.
No, it's Denton Ryan all day, man.
I've heard Denton Geyer's like where the cool guys go. So
yeah,
that's what I've heard. I don't know.
Maybe they had a run or two, but they haven't been consistent. Since the 90s, dude.
I'd never see Connor take anything seriously. Now he's like all
no, what
it was out of shape.
It was a bummer because before Geyer was opened, Denton Ryan got that. So imagine Denton Ryan and Denton Geyer together. Like that level of talent. And so it's like that was what was annoying because we have DHS Denton High School. They always suck.
Yeah.
I think they've gotten better now, but I remember I was in the press box for a varsity game. And Denton High always is so bad, dude. Like, you'd beat them by 60 type of bad. Like, they couldn't even just run their offense. Our coach put up our play sheet on the glass, and he took a pen, and he threw it, and it hit a play, marked it. He called the play, and we scored.
Wow.
Like, that's how bad Denton High was. But, dude, if you kept, Denton Ryan and Denton Geyer together, man, that's a super talented squad.
Do one of those like Allen, Texas mega schools with 7,000 kids and like,
and that's what it was for. It opened, you know, so it's like, yeah, that would have been real cool. All right, so that's the top 50 here. That was fun. So who did we have? We had Manny, Arch, Anthony Hill, Taff.
Yeah,
four right. Not bad for top 50, but pay attention to Penn State and Bama.
Oh, Manny Muhammad.
Okay. So it's like pay attention to all of these guys because these are important.
Well, the other part is these are draft eligible. So Colin Simmons is
correct.
The second best player on our team or the best. We'll see. He's not on this list. He's going to be impacting games. So, yeah. We're not accounting for sophomores. Ryan Wingo. Yeah. You know, who knows what he's going to do this year, et cetera.
Yeah. So it's a fun list. I like doing this just to get a feel for the other teams, you know, because now you notice the trends, right? Oh, Bama for real. Oh, Penn State for real. That kind of stuff helps a lot.
Also, you may notice Jack Endries, the tight end transfer from Cal, not on this list. It kind of speaks to what I was talking about with him is he's more like – great hands, reliable, settles into a spot.
Can't go for 60.
he's not as athletic as Gunnar Helm.
Yeah.
But he's going to be good. It was important we get that guy. Dude, because there was a strain where people were like, oh, we're good at tight end. And I was like, we're not good at tight end.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Next year should be fun.
Yeah, next year will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but we're in that kind of transition period, but next year should be a lot of fun. But I like doing that, looking at the guys. Also, man, whenever you're just watching the normal, whatever game on Saturday, you'll know who to be looking at scout-wise.
That's right.
All right, chat. We appreciate you.
Is there anything from the chat we should address?
No, all our chat. You know they just talk nonsense, Paul. Who
knows? How dare you?
Who knows what even these guys
are saying? I'm Vox Populi. I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of the chat. Yeah. I don't like your elitism.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I glance over, but no, I don't think we have any stuff crazy.
If Texas can run the ball, I predict destroy, says a retired working man. Predict destroy if we can run the ball.
Yeah, if. That's going to be the big trick. Looking through the chat, I think we're good. Man of the people, Paul Wellington. It's the truth.
You mentioned Drew Kelsen, and he appears.
He's such a man of the people, guys. He's writing his preview, and he's giving it away for free, everybody. Use code FREE, because he loves the people so much.
I don't like you guys that much. I still want to make money off of you. So
yeah, for sure. But good luck with writing that, man.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. It's not fun, but I'm always happy with the final
product. I was going to say, so am I, man. I look forward to it every year. You do an incredible job with it. So be on the lookout for it.
I apologize to the school for Wayward Boys and Denton Geyer being cool comments. I know Denton Ryan is.
We're going to talk about that off screen, Paul.
You don't want to antagonize your producer because they can do all sorts of subtle stuff to you.
Just make you say weird stuff in the edit.
Well, I think I told you I used to do my EGATs with Randy on Zoom, and I was just screwing around one time with the Zoom functions, and I ended up for almost a year. I had a mustache that like twirled up, like superimposed on my face, and I couldn't get it off.
Yeah.
So Connor could do all sorts of stuff to me.
We'll be all good. Paul, thank you. Chat, thank you. And this was IT Live brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have a great day, y'all. Peace.